No, no.
What did you drop?
I just watched this big ass dust bunny just float down right above my boots. I was like,
it's a dust bunny.
It's dirty. Is
it
what
won't
it, is.
It won't kill you. It's
still
a dust.
Got alcohol in it though, so suck it dry.
All right.
You know how dust gets created, right? Air particles.
And you know what that is, baby? Dead skin cells from y'all nasty ass bitches in this room.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Zane,
and I am Heath for our new listeners.
And this is Zane and Heath Unfiltered. Welcome back. How you doing?
We have a special. Oh, should we say we have a special guest today?
Yeah, we should. We have a new face.
We have
Matt King. Nice to see you guys again. I got a hair transplant. I'm gay now, and I reversed my LASIK, so I have
a lot. This is Kenny, guys. We actually know Kenny from high school. Well, kind of. He is from our hometown, and we kind of met him there. And now he kind of lives with us. He's our new roommate, by the way, guys. So he just moved in with Mariah and I. So give it up for Kenny.
Wait, where's Matt?
Oh yeah, well, right. Where's Matt? We like forgot about
Matt. Matt, you see, he's done a lot of mistakes. He's been late a lot. Uh-huh. We thought it was time to kind of put him to the side, and
right, we're trying something
temporarily suspend him from the podcast. He's actually out of town. And we figured, hey, why not just throw the new roommate in the seat and just see what happens?
I mean, the world is changing so much. Why not switch up your podcast?
Right, exactly. 2020. Let's do it.
Kenny actually made a joke. He was like, "Oh my God, you had that little K sign over there waiting for me until I got here."
So you're cute. Like, oh, that's not what it means, but it's good that you feel special.
People are trying to figure out what that K means.
I know. It's so funny seeing comments, like just guessing.
Just it means nothing, guys. It's just the letter K. We just thought it was cute. It fit the theme of the podcast, so we decided to put it up there.
Baby, you don't get much to choose when you're shopping at like Kirkland's and Michael's. And
yeah, you get like K's and like O's. So it's like you kind of have to just choose from there.
It stands for Kirkland's. Shout out to Kirkland's.
Oh, we should roll the intro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
All right.
It's coffee time, baby! Yeah! Ow! That was me saying ow because I hurt my arm, not for the song.
Right, well, Heath's arm is still fucked up. You want to tell the listeners what happened?
So I injured it in an accident.
It was right after the podcast.
We went to the ER and did some x-rays, got it checked out. Nothing was broken, which was good. They thought it was dislocated when I first walked in, but it wasn't dislocated. So they were just like, there's not really much we could do because it's not broken. You just have to get an MRI. They gave me some pain medication, muscle relaxers, stuff like that. And then they said, go get an MRI. I was like, okay, I didn't realize what all went into getting an MRI. They were like, you got to call this lady. She's going to set you up. She's going to put you in contact with your insurance company, who's going to find you a primary doctor out here.
What if your arm was falling off?
Like, right. I'm like, yeah, I this is kind of a rust situation.
Yeah, and something like that, like because we're Googling this shit the whole entire night. We're like trying to figure out what he has, and every single thing that was about his shoulder was like, you need to get it done sooner than later. You can't sit on it because it will only get worse. And
also,
I'm still
confused. Like, why doesn't the ER have an MRI?
It doesn't make sense.
That makes no sense.
Like, you were the one store, but like, you're the one place.
This store
should have absolutely everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So they were like, so call this person, then you're getting a primary, then your primary is going to refer you to an orthopedic surgeon. And then it's just like, this. And I'm like, I don't even know if my insurance is real. I kind of just found the cheapest thing because I got kicked off my parents and I was like, all right, this is just a nice little placeholder. Let's just do this until I can find a good insurance.
Man, yeah, nobody takes my insurance either.
You can't do, when it comes to like health insurance, you want to, not saying top dollar, but you want to pay for good insurance because some shit like this just costs so much money when you have bad insurance.
Well, okay, so listen to this. I was going to say pay for the good insurance because when this comes to it, but what I just recently realized is it was better me saying that I didn't have insurance than me saying I did.
Yes.
Because I was calling places to set up MRI and like orthopedic visits and they're like, what insurance do you have? I'd say what I had and they're like, oof.
Ooh.
Sorry. Do you have a primary? Did you get a prescription to come here to get an MRI? Is this covered on your insurance? I'm like, I don't know. And then I called the next spot. I was like, listen, I don't have insurance. Can I just come do it? They were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be out of pocket. I was like, okay, like, that's probably going to be a lot, but whatever. Like, let me just get it done with. And I was like, how much is it to do an MRI? And they were like, oh, It's only $300
for an MRI. I mean, that's still pretty expensive.
But no, it's just $300 when you're in pain. You're like, yes, sign me up. Like, I'll pay.
Right. Yeah,
there's a blank check. I'll sign it.
But when you have good insurance, that $300 goes down to like $10, $20.
Yeah, when you're paying $500 a month for fucking insurance.
But dude, like, all right. So for me, when I snap my elbow, I was paying what, like $400 a month. I've been paying $400 a month probably for the past. I switched my health insurance maybe a year and a half ago, and the bill came back and it was like fucking like $7,000. What I had to pay, but what it would have been is probably like $50,000 of everything they did.
Oh yeah.
Oh
so
my.
It benefits you slightly, I guess. It just makes you pay less when it comes time to pay because nobody has like that kind of money to pay on the spot
I totally get what you're saying with that, but then also at the same time, I think they jack up prices because they know they can charge these insurance companies.
Well, that's why you got to go get an itemizer receipt like that TikTok that I watched.
I was amazed by like whenever I actually like I had to be an adult and get like the breakdown because I just got knee surgery and I was like, okay, let's do this. And like the amount that they charge whatever they want. And then like the insurance company tells them you can actually only charge this much. And they're like, okay, you have insurance. So I guess we'll only charge that much.
It's such a scam.
They charged me $70,000 for my knee. Like,
what'd you do to your knee?
Maybe he got this robot knee that bends backwards.
You got knee implants or something? What happened there?
The camera
a built-in like massager.
Just no, right?
Hot and cold.
Worth it.
Depending on your preference.
But yeah, so I ended up getting the MRI and got that taken care of. And then I booked the appointment, which was a whole nother process.
I booked the appointment.
Thank you. You're like, give me the phone.
I'm taking away your credit.
You're getting your MRI, and I'm like, hi, this is Heath's insurance. Can you see him? And I'm like, oh, okay, not for another 2 months. Goodbye. Like, they didn't understand.
You answered the phone and said, this is Heath's insurance? That's probably why.
Insurance.
No, I was calling the number on the back
not
of his car.
Not introducing himself. Like, this is what his insurance is.
Hi, what's your name? Heath's, last name, insurance.
They were asking me all these questions. I was like, God, this is really, like, really testing me as a friend. They're like, what's his birthday? I'm like,
When is his birthday, Kenny?
April 5th, 1993.
I got it wrong last night.
You're
I was
July
like,
July 13th.
Aw, everybody mark your calendar. Matt King's birthday is July 13th.
What were you about to say, Zane?
But no, I was just saying I got your birthday wrong when he asked me what your birthday was the other night. And I said like April 15th, baby. And he's like,
no. I was like, wrong.
I was like,
try again.
That's right. I was testing you.
I was like,
it's the 5th.
No, I got it wrong. I was like, April 8th. And he's like, you're getting closer.
Yeah. Like, you play it off and get it wrong a couple times, so it looks like it was a joke.
I'll be like, if you get it wrong in this last time, I'm going to kick you with my bionic knee.
It's because I have such a hard time remembering my own birthday. So, like all these numbers and words and letters
never
and months.
Good at math.
What is your birthday? I don't even know your
November
birthday.
November 18th.
Okay, show off.
We have a boyfriend.
I'm like,
whoa. And now what's his birthday?
April 5th.
She April 4th.
April 15th.
She's short-circuiting. She's like, July 13th. Everybody.
We finally got to the appointment, got the doctor's visit, and they checked out my shoulder. I don't know how they can read these MRI things. It looks like...
same thing.
It looks like cellular, like chromosomes and mitochondria is like moving around. And I was just like, y'all could do that?
That's some molecular shit.
Oh, okay.
Because they can see like inside. They go like 3D and they're like, how
it's
deep do you want
to go? So weird. Like it's like layers. Like if you were to take the top layer of a cake off and like look there, and then you could take the next layer and like look.
You just put your finger in the cake and go. Yup, he has a broken rotator cuff. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about cake, Zane understands.
Zane could do that. Yeah, he goes,
I gotta put it in like
cookies and cream.
So we got a molten lava shoulder right here.
I heard that.
Turns out I tore my rotator cuff.
All right, give it
up. Aww. Oh, you're clapping.
but you didn't break it, so that's good.
Right, nothing is broken. So I guess there's a couple... What he called it, like the sits. There's like four different things that make up like the rotator cuff tendon mess of stuff going on. I guess it got tore, but not all the way ripped through. So they didn't have to do surgery to like reattach it. But I ripped whatever the thingy is in there. So he said, just kind of be easy on it. Let time do its thing. And I will recover within 6 weeks to 3 months.
Oh!
And that's on inpatient.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit bummed about that. But you know what? It is what it is. It could have been a lot worse, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
like if I was going into surgery right now, having to like that would be a whole nother process.
Yeah, it's very important to just stay positive throughout the whole process though, because man, I went into a deep fucking depression when I had that elbow thing.
Yeah,
because you just feel hopeless. You feel like you can't do anything. You just sit in bed all day.
Baby, I can't even grab my coffee cup right now.
Yeah, it's hard.
I can't even coffee and talk at the same time.
You need a little crazy straw that like goes right to your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Up over
the
one
with the glasses.
Yeah.
Hey, Heath, how you feel? Whoa.
Rub it in. He's coffee and talking right now.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's good. You got that figured out, and now you're in a slingy.
Right, and they gave me a hydrocortisone shot. What is it?
Hydrocortisone?
I think
he's
I'm on both of those things right now.
You're literally getting your medications mixed up. You got hydrocortisone, you've got cortisone. It's cortisone, baby.
You said hydrocortisone, I'm in.
They gave me a prescription for
hydrocortisone. Thank God, because that's what I gave you before. So I gave you the right.
But he was looking out for me.
Oh my God, I should be like a doctor. I should be a doctor.
He's like sifting through his baggies of drugs.
I'm good.
You see, last name?
Last name insurance, you said? Right, got it. So yeah, they gave me that, and then the shot really helped, so I'm excited about that.
That's good.
I can go from here to here with my movement. So
very good.
I don't want to brag or anything.
You imitated that with your good arm. You just moved your good arm.
Well, since we have Kenny on the podcast, we want to get to know Kenny a little bit
it's
more
and
how we got here.
This is our first guest.
Oh,
this is our first guest.
Yeah.
This should be a very, very special moment for you. It is for us.
Thank goodness I don't have no big shoes to fill. I'm setting the bar very low. We're hitting rock bottom real fast.
No, I mean, we've known Kenny for a while now. Like, we met him after high school, a little after high school.
So he went to our high school, but we didn't really know him. Like, we knew of him as a person, but just different friend groups.
I always remember seeing you. I remember seeing you all the time because you were like the tall kid, because you were taller than everybody in high school.
Yeah, that's when I started like sprouting up. Like,
yeah, but you always looked young. I remember like seeing him, like, damn, he looked so like young.
The baby face.
Baby face, yeah. So, I remember the little group that you had back in high school, and I just remember, that's all I remember, though. It's crazy that you're here right now.
I think we knew of each other, but it's just, like, really weird that, like, our paths crossed after we graduated.
Can I ask you this? I don't think I've ever asked you. What do you think of Zane and I? Because, like, we were a grade above Kenny. So, like, we were, like, the senior.
Whoa!
I was the junior. Y'all like, want the real answer? Y'all want the real
answer? No, be 100%
real. Be completely
real, like,
honest.
Okay, so...
Read the room.
Read the room.
Unfiltered.
I am a homosexual.
We have a little bit of flavor in this podcast.
Yeah,
this
episode. A little outside perspective. So I was friends with a lot of girls in high school, and a lot of my girlfriends had a crush on Heath.
Whoa.
So they, you know, they confided
dropped
in me.
Drop their names.
And then one of my gay friends had a crush on you.
Hey, look, at least it's somebody. It's somebody. What's his name?
Baby, that's confidential information. That's a form of secrecy. It's gay code. You know what I mean? We got girl code. Gay code is stronger than girl code. But yeah, I always knew of you guys. And then, that fated day at Dunkin' Donuts is when we actually like became friends. It was so weird. It's like
strange. Like it was meant to be.
Yeah, because if like the person that I was with like didn't like keep making awkward eye contact with you, like and you're just always like so hospitable. You're like, you guys want to come on over?
Right.
And I was like, fuck, like, I get like social anxiety and I get weird. And I'm like, oh, I just knew of you guys. I didn't know much. And so we have to like now scoot our chairs like by your.
Now I gave you like an errand. Like you got to like come over and like something to do.
Oh, wait. So you were at Dunkin' Donuts, but at the separate table.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So was I there?
Yes. You were getting the coffees.
So we used to go to Dunkin'
what
Donuts.
What year is this? Like set the scene.
7 years ago at least.
Wow.
So, well, no, maybe more. Because we knew you a long time before we even started like Vine. Or no, Vine. We were doing Vine in the beginning.
You were doing Vine because my friend introduced you as like, that's Heath from our high school and also Vine.
But we still didn't really know him. We knew of him from school,
right.
But that was it. Like
so,
nothing more than that.
We would just go to Dunkin' Donuts literally every single day and just sit there and have coffee and just like hang out. Like,
there was nothing else to do. Nothing else to do.
All we
there.
Would do. Yeah. So he was at, Kenny was at another table with another girl that went to school with us that I had kind of known from middle school also. So like I had
you went to aquatic camp with her.
Right, that too.
Yeah. She knew you from when y'all were little.
Yeah. So like obviously like I recognized you guys and like she kept like looking over and I was like, okay, she knows obviously like she remembered me. So I was like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's up?
You guys keep so you
right, cover
so
your
you
cover your eyes. Cover your eyes.
Cover your eyes.
cover your eyes.
Wow. Just shut my mouth. It's too much coffee.
That's good.
It gets me jittery.
So I looked over and I just like said hi or whatever. And then we just like sparked a conversation across tables like, hey, like just across Dunkin' Donuts. And then they ended up sitting with us and...
Enter Zane with the coffee.
Enter Zane. Oh my,
this just all makes sense.
He's like, who the hell is sitting at my table?
So yeah, we just kind of hit it off and like became friends that day. And then it was like, you want to go to Dunkin' again?
Literally, you guys got my number that night. And like, I did not expect to ever hear from you guys again. And then you were just like, no. Yo, you want to roll through Dunkin'? I'm like... Shit.
I remember telling Heath that, like, damn, Kenny's actually, like, pretty funny. Like, he's just a funny kid. He's, like, very quick.
Literally the funniest person I've ever met in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, damn.
I'm also very handsome and very humble.
So we ended up just, like, hanging out a bunch. And this was, like, in the beginning of Zane and I's Vine days. And we were, like, coming up with skits. So Kenny would meet up with us. We would get coffee. And he would be, like, pitching us different ideas. Like, oh, you could do this for a Vine. How about this? And, like, was really coming up, like... with different stuff to like just help us because he just cared. Like he was just excited and he was into that.
Yeah.
Fast forward, he ended up moving out to. I'm telling your story.
I love it. It's like reading a book.
Like, and then what did I do?
Yeah. What did I do next? Ooh, I don't even know.
So then he ended up moving out to California at the same time Zane and I did, but he went to San Francisco and we went to LA. So we still kept in touch. I would go up and visit every once in a while when I could.
All I'm thinking of now is when you first came to visit me and you introduced me to the snack of all snacks.
Oh, the baby poutine.
That and, bitch, the peanut butter pickle
peanut butter hot fries, cream cheese
sandwich.
Right, baby. Yes. Yeah,
that's disgusting. I don't know how you got
it. Oh, have you eaten it?
No, I mean, I don't like cream cheese. I don't like half the sandwich.
I don't like pickles at all, but you put peanut butter and pickles together, you got yourself...
It's like fruit and cake. They don't go together.
It's like fruit and cake.
Right. Heath is out here changing lives with this fucking recipe.
If you guys haven't tried it, make sure to try it out. It is incredible.
Don't.
Do it.
Well, before you do that, just think. Reassess.
Think. Start over.
Maybe we
shouldn't put that up.
So we're going to get someone food poisoning on this podcast. Right. Come blame us.
Sorry, Kenny. Go ahead. So you moved to San Fran.
I did. I moved to San Francisco.
To
get out of Florida.
I know like little parts, but like I want to hear your whole San Francisco like move story.
Oh God. It was a wild ride. I mean, San Francisco is cool. I mean, I love San Francisco for what it is. It served a purpose in my life. Like I moved out there just because I was really like dissatisfied with Florida and I just felt like nothing.
Maybe everybody is dissatisfied.
Yeah, I'm like nothing great ever happened. I'm just preaching to the choir.
Yeah,
over here.
Florida, it feels like you're stuck there. Like you have to leave the fucking
state. It's easy to get stuck. That's the problem.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there it is.
I just felt like a hamster on a wheel and it made me very, very scared. Like I felt like my path was just like already decided for me. And I was like, I don't like that feeling. Like I want to feel like I'm making my own decisions. Like I'm not just like going on whatever my family feels like or what friends are doing or whatever. So I just like bit the bullet, moved to SF. And yeah, it just so happened to be around the same time that you guys were moving to LA. So we kind of like... But I did have to say a tearful goodbye to y'all first.
I know.
That was really sad. That was rough. But then I moved out to SF. And then, we would periodically keep in touch. I mean, like, I came down here. I stayed with you. You would come up and stay with me.
Right.
But I went out there and I was like, what am I going to do out here? Like, I just made the snap decision. And then, I'd had this, like, little dream from, like, a young age of, like, being in like voiceover, like cartoons and stuff. I've always been very into cartoons and anime, and like that was always my escape. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Like, what can I do out here that's gonna like feed some sort of dream we got going on? So I like I signed up for classes, and I've been taking those classes for like 4 or 5 years.
You are like one of the best voice actors I've ever heard in my entire
life.
He's
so good, guys.
So fucking good. Like he can recreate any fucking character you can think of.
So yeah, I mean, I just kind of like did my due diligence in SF. Like I was like just cranking out the classes for the longest time, just like trying to make a living, trying to pay for the classes. And then I just made like a connection. I mean, it's all about connecting, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
when you're out here.
Once you make that like one connection that's good, it's like a woman who's an agent down here, and she was like, you're really good at this whole like voiceover thing, like this animation, like I think you're really good in it, like do you have plans to move to LA? And I was like,
No, I was literally about to.
I was going down there next weekend, baby. So I mean, she's like, cool, like I want you to reach out to me if you ever, you know, if you're down there. So that was when I started planning like the move down here. And then luckily yo ass is so kind and hospitable. and yeah, you're just like totally down for me to like, you know, pave the new way and like create a new life for me out here. So I took you up on that offer, and I moved in.
That's how Kenny ended up in my backyard.
Yeah. I bet you're wondering, how did I end up here? Yeah, so that was like, it's really sick. So I mean, right now, currently, present day, I'm getting my studio set up with the help of your microphone and all that.
So yeah, we got Kenny set up in his room, and I gave him some like recording equipment that we had for like when I was doing my rapping thing and stuff. y'all remember that, right?
So I mean, I had to cleanse that with some hand sanitizer because that mic was filthy from all the beats you were spitting on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's all set up and going to be pursuing that. It's just crazy how everything has come like full circle. Literally doing coffee talks, like in Plantation, to now us all being together in LA doing like a coffee talk right now on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
It is so cool.
I feel like it was coffee talk before there was coffee talk.
It was like
coffee talk BC, like before coffee.
It just wasn't filmed, because we had the same conversations that we did in the videos back when we would set up that table outside of Dunkin' Donuts.
We really did.
We just never filmed it, which is so crazy because like those conversations were fucking hilarious.
Yeah. It's weird like coming back here because it's like, I love like friends that you can just like pick up where you left off all the time. Like there's no awkward, like, have you been, like, whatever. And it's just like you guys and I would like talk about shit for like hours and hours and hours till like 2 a.m. at Dunkin' Donuts. And then what have we been doing for the past like 3 days? We've been talking about shit till 2-3 a.m.
Just
saying,
just
like,
talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. About talking. Nothing. We were talking about Game of Thrones for 3 hours the other night.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
And we could do it again right now.
I want to so bad, but like half of you guys won't even know what the fuck we're talking about.
And the other half doesn't need to know, because maybe it ain't worth it.
It was a very dark, dark time in all of our lives.
When we all hit rock bottom simultaneously.
We want to apologize on behalf of the entire community.
It's like, I want to encourage you guys to watch it, but at the same time, I don't want to let you down.
Like, just stop at 7.5. Like, y'all need to finish it.
Don't do it. You don't need it. No. It's not good for your soul. It's not.
So like we said, Kenny is a voice actor, though, and we wanted to give him like a little test to see what he would sound like if we gave him a specific type of character on the fly.
Like, throughout high school, seeing you walk through the halls, I would never knew that you were so good at something, and you just never let it out.
You just looked like you couldn't do anything. So it's so weird to think about you.
You were pathetic. I had my own shit going on, man. I had nothing. But okay.
Right.
But Heath, this game is like great. I really want to see.
Y'all been plotting some shit behind my back. I love it.
Right. So we're going to give you a character and see how you would do it. Let's go with post-apocalyptic, like, zombie robot, and you're the head honcho running the survivors who are just like looking up to you.
I'm like, oh, say no more. I'm already that.
And you gotta make like this decision to go raid the next village and like to take over their supplies. God, that
what
sounds
in
like a
the
good
world?
Show. I was gonna go with like Baby Duck in school.
It was very specific, but I like.
I'm trying to paint like a picture here.
Sometimes it gets very specific in voiceover. Okay, so we got post-apocalyptic. Okay, we got somewhere raiding a village.
You said
okay.
Palomia steak, Papa Lapa.
Hold the onions. So we're gonna do
savages, assemble! We need you now more than ever. We must raid the next village and leave no stone unturned.
Dude, I'm like crying, like I'm tearing up. Like, this is
hell
so weird.
Yeah.
Give me the Oscar.
Oh my God.
That's good.
It's just cool. Like it does sound kind of like post-apocalyptic, robotic.
Yeah.
What about like...
I got one.
Oh, go ahead.
I got one. Okay. Oh, a little kid going to a little convenience store trying to apply for a job. But he's little. He doesn't know that he can't get the job.
That was cute.
But he really wants the job.
How old are we talking? How young?
We're talking like what's an age where he can like speak?
Three?
No.
When do people learn how to talk?
Speak full sentences, know what's going on, but he's just determined.
Like 5, you're like talking, but it's kind of like cute. And
let's do 6-7. 6-7 years old.
Got it. Okay, so he's applying
I like don't
want to
look, so I can just visualize.
Yeah, I'm going to close my eyes.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to do that.
Everybody close.
If you're
also close my eyes.
Yeah, everybody close your eyes.
Yeah, thankfully this is a podcast. You can't see me yet until the video is posted. Okay.
I filled out my resume with crayon, and I'm a very good boy. My mom says I am. So I would like to apply for a job, please, because I need to make money because my mom has fell on some hard times, and I just want to help her out, you know? So I think it'd be really good. I love how convenient this store is. It's called a convenience store, so I'd like to work here, please. What do you say?
That's so cool.
Wow. That was really good.
That's a little older. He, like, it was very proper, but it was really good. Holy shit.
You know, like, when you're a little kid, you're on your PQs around your mom, and, you know, I was talking around, like, when I'm on
that was really good.
You know, I'm in my little church clothes.
Crazy how you can have multiple voices.
I imagine, I can have my eyes closed. I can imagine what this person looked like.
Me too.
Which is, like, crazy.
That's so cool.
I'm very proud of you. That's
thank you.
I'm like, yeah, give me one. I wish I could do it.
Yeah, but you try.
I couldn't. I literally couldn't.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That sounds
groovy, baby.
It sounds like really like sexy 70s radio host.
Yeah, do that. What was it? Sexy 70s radio host.
Shit. Like,
y'all know I wasn't born in the 70s, right?
Just say groovy a lot.
Sexy 70s radio host.
Close your eyes.
Oh, you know what? Okay, I got a good reference for this because my dad listens to... okay. Got it.
You're listening to Hot Rod Radio. Tune in and rip the knob off. When you're going 70s all day, you don't need to go nowhere else.
That's oh, my so God. Wow. Even the things you're saying, like, it's not even just the voice. It's also, like... He's playing the part. Like, the things that he's saying make sense.
Right, like, rip the knob off. Like,
that's so cool.
It's a big thing in animation that you got to learn how to ad-lib. So, ad-lib.
Yeah.
You know,
right. And yeah, you're kind of, like, improvising, too, at the same time when you're, like, becoming that.
Would you say you're good at acting? Like, could you be in front of a camera and do, like, a...
I'm in front of a camera right now, baby. How do you think I'm doing?
You're, like, I'm acting like I'm having a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like someone asked me this the other day, and they're like, oh, do you want to do on camera? And, like, it's not a priority. Like, voiceover's always been kind of like the goal, but I mean, I'm open to many possibilities.
Do you have a favorite character?
I was gonna say, if you have like a dream character that you would love to play.
Oh, that too. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, a dream like role for me to get would probably be on like something like Rick and Morty.
Cool.
The thing that got me into voice acting was actually anime. So like Naruto, I was, you know, I mean, that's done now, but like I would love to be on anime, even though the pay is like less. It's just like a really fulfilling job, I feel like. Like I'd love to be in anything, honestly. Just like give me a role.
What do the characters sound like in Naruto? I've never seen
Naruto. Oh, I don't know.
Bubba, that was great. Naruto! Naruto!
I've only heard Scott do it, because Scott's, like, obsessed. I don't know.
Anime? Like, you're talking about, like...
Yeah. He's...
It's like, Japanese anime, right?
Like, yeah, so, I mean, like, it starts off in Japanese. That's why it's, like, it's a lot harder, but you get paid less. But it's, like, you have to dub over what's already been animated. So you have to make sure that your mouth is moving to the same movements as the characters.
Oh, what
it's
in
a
the
lot
world?
Harder.
I thought it... Weird. I thought the voice comes first, and then the...
It does, but in Japanese... They animate it from the Japanese voice comes first because it's from Japan, and then they animate it, and then when it's translated to English,
you have to do it the opposite.
Yeah, the animation's already
there. Oh my
God! Hold on. So they on their end, they must have had to like move the mouth exactly what they like.
Yeah,
what?
They got it. They have a monitor. They see the animation already because it's already been created, so they got to match it to it. But I remember like. I just
that makes
remember
the job so much harder though. I feel.
Yeah, it does. It's a lot. It's harder and it's less money. But it's like it's just you have to be. It's like a passion project. You gotta love that genre. So like,
what does like a character in that sound like?
I mean, I don't know Japanese, but like I could do like one line because I remember I started watching it in subtitles. So that's how you watch like most anime before the English voice gets dubbed over. So I mean, like I used to watch it in Japanese before I would watch it in English. Uh-huh. So I picked up like random little like just little sentences here and there. So I remember there was one and I'll do the translation first because this guy has this like ninja technique and it's
right
there was this one character and he had in English it would be referred to as a fire style fireball jutsu, and in Japanese that was katon gokakyu no jutsu.
Whoa, that like literally sounds like
legit.
Yeah.
like a character. Like, obviously, I know that's what you do, but like that, it sounds.
It's so good.
Like, this is our Kenny.
Yeah,
like,
this is Kenny.
This is why we have the K in Unfiltered. I mean, right there.
This is all him, baby.
So crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's a fun little. It's a fun little rewarding gig. I like it.
Well, I hope your journey out here leads you to somewhere successful.
Well, thank you guys for being a part of my journey.
We're proud of you.
Thank you.
It's just cool to see someone like you, like, because you're such a fucking sweet person. You deserve everything you have right now. Seeing you out here and like are on this path, that's so
I just
cool.
Like that, like, you did your thing in SF and like now it felt like it was the end of that chapter. Now this is the beginning of like a new chapter that's just gonna go even further.
Everything feels really natural, and I mean, like, you guys have a lot to do with that. I mean, like, if I didn't have anyone down here, I don't know what moves I could have made or like what I had at my disposal. Like, I don't know if I would have just figured it out or if I would have like held back. So I mean, I appreciate you guys.
Everything happens for a reason, though. Everything happens for a reason. Like, when Heath and I came out here, we were just like, fuck, we don't really know anybody out here, but
yeah,
at least, you know, we had each other, and I feel like that was like huge, because I wouldn't have been able to move out here by myself. I would have never done that.
I literally don't know how Mariah did it. Me neither. Actually don't.
Oh my God.
I have no idea.
Oh, you moved out here by yourself.
With like $500 in her pocket.
With 200. No. Wait, how the fuck did you do that? I feel like that's really hard. I mean, you to San Francisco too, but like that's fucking
nuts. I had a little more than $200, but.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah. It's crazy though. Like,
I don't really tell anybody about that. I just.
But I bet you look back now. Though, and like, it's like, it, I feel like it prepares you for what's ahead, because you look back and you're like, look at what I've already done.
Yeah.
By myself.
That's what I've like, especially like since meeting you, I have to like look back at like, okay, I came from this. Like, look how far I got. Like, I have to like be patient with like my journey and stuff like that.
Would you want to share your story and journey here?
Sure.
Oh, yay.
No, it's nothing crazy. It's just like, whoa, what
no,
the hell?
It's fucking crazy.
Okay, so.
Oh, it's crazy. Why have we never talked about this yet?
No, it's not that crazy.
Oh, Mariah's so humble. Look at her. Okay, all right, we'll just move on then. All right, so.
First of all, the whole LA scene, the only thing I knew about LA, now I'm realizing, like back then, is that what I saw on Tumblr, literally just palm trees and like.
The Grove.
The Grove. That's all I knew. Like, I don't know how I had this fantasy of like, I want to go to LA. So I started dancing professionally at 18, and I was booking jobs in New York. Like, every audition I went on, I booked it. Like, I booked so many jobs in New York. It was so easy. And then I was like, all right, let me go out to LA. Like, I want like a little bit of a challenge. My sister and I decided to go on vacation in August of 2015. Does that make, that adds up, right? Yeah. August of 2015, we came out for a vacation. We ended up staying like, it was like an hour from Hollywood, because I didn't know anything about the area. Like, it was
LA
so
is
far.
So huge. That,
it's
like,
so big.
You could be somewhere in considered Los Angeles, but you'll be.
It's so far.
An hour from like being to Hollywood.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So,
so
crazy.
We stayed on the outskirts, and we get there and I'm looking up things to do around the area. And I find this dance studio, like a kid's dance studio. And I told my sister, I was like, let's walk to this studio and just see if they're like hiring. And because I told myself,
and you're on vacation.
I'm on vacation. Yeah. Right. So we end up walking like an hour and a half to this random studio that I know nothing about. I just made sure they were legit, because I told myself, don't move to LA unless you have a job.
Yes.
And so I walked into the studio and I said, hi, I was just wondering if you guys are looking for a teacher, like, I'm looking to get a job, like, blah blah blah. And she was like, well, what do you teach? And I said, acrobatics and whatever you need me to teach. She goes, oh, well, we have an acro class in about an hour. If you want to come teach that, we'll see how you do. I didn't tell
that
her I'm not from there.
That fast.
Well, she, that's what, yeah, they like, I don't know, they're very like laid back and like family oriented. I don't know, it's a great studio. So she goes, well, we have a class if you want to teach it in an hour. I was like, okay. So my sister and I were like, my sister was like, just do it. So I end up teaching this class. The kids love me. The owners love me. She sits me down. She offers me the job. And I was like, okay, well, I'm actually on vacation. And I live across the country.
You look like a crazy lady probably.
Yeah,
right? Like,
oh, I was like, I live across the country. Like, I live in Pennsylvania. I was like, but if you can guarantee me the job, I'll move here whenever you need me to. And it was August. She goes, can you be here in September? And I said, yeah. Didn't tell my parents.
God.
I said, yep.
Damn, that's like so cool. Like, when someone's like that interested in you and they're just like, you have the
that's
job.
That's really good.
And so I didn't tell my parents, and my sister was like, just wait until we get home and we'll tell them. I was like, okay. So vacation's over. We go back to the house, and I was like, so We walked into the Stan studio and I told them the whole story. And they were like, what? And I was like, exactly how you guys reacted. I was like, yeah, I was like, can I go? Like, I think I'm going to go. I think I was 20. I was 20 at the time or 21. And I was like, can I go? And then everybody told me back home, not my parents, but like my peers and stuff were like, you know, you need like $10,000 to move there. And I was like, I had $200 in my bank account. My parents helped me book a flight. We booked an Airbnb for me in the meantime until I found, once again, didn't know how much rent was in LA. Yeah. I had $200 and a credit card and that was it. So my parents were like, okay, like they were like, I knew you were going to go anyway. So just let's pack your stuff. Let's book you a flight. We looked up this Airbnb and it was like $100 a week. And it because it was under because it was under construction.
Oh,
so there was
there was no roof.
There was no
right next to Mariah's bed.
Yeah. I fly to LA in September. I get to this house at like 10 o'clock at night and nobody's in the house. It's pitch black. There's no electricity. There's no kitchen. Like, it's under construction.
Jesus.
So I just walk in and the guy was just texting me the information like, oh, you're just pick any of the rooms. Like, no one's in there. There's like a half a mattress on the floor. There's like nothing. Just that mattress on the floor. And I was like, okay. And I like tried to avoid telling my parents the circumstances. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a nice house.
Oh, my God,
whatever.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. So then...
That's really cool that you didn't even like bring that up to your parents. So like 99% of the people would be like, this sucks. I hate it here. But like, right. You're just like,
it's going to worry
look,
them.
We got it. And it's like, you were determined to just make it work. And like, that's really awesome.
Once I like told my parents, they were like, I love that my parents were just like, you'll figure it out. Like, you're going to figure it out. We're a phone call away. Like, you'll figure it out. I have the studio to go to. Like, I started work right away.
Yeah.
So I ended up like going to the studio and stuff. But then I lived in that Airbnb for like 6 months. And then he goes, okay, so we sold the house. So is there anywhere else that you can go? And I said, no, like I didn't find an apartment. I didn't realize rent was $2,000 a month. I wasn't making close to that. And then I was like, no. And he was like, okay, well, my brother's a realtor. There's another house under construction. Do you want to move there? I was like, I guess. I go there, no bed, no closet,
so it's
no
exactly
kitchen,
like what you were in
the
before.
The same thing. Right. But I was so grateful for this guy. And like,
Heath, cover your ears now.
I know.
But they would come in and out like construction guys. And I would just like, I didn't have a car either. So I would just walk outside for like hours just to avoid the workers because I was scared. I would walk to work. I got a job at Panda Express. I started working there for a year or two, and once I saved up more money and I can afford a little bit more rent, one of the moms at the dance studio was like, oh, I have a back house that you can move into, which is basically like a studio. It's just one room and a kitchen. But once I had a kitchen, I'm super grateful for this family. I love them to death, but there was no oven, there was no stove, like nothing. You saw it when you first met me. I was living there and I remember meeting Heath and he was like, well, I could go to you. Like, you don't always have to drive to me. And I was like, that's okay. it was like a little closet. Like, it was really tiny, but I loved it. Like, I felt comfortable because the family living in the main house was like my second mom. Like, yeah. I was like, okay, I have people here. Like, I made friends at the studio. Like, I made connections. I got signed with an agent. And I was like, okay, things are working. I think she charged me like $600 a month for it, which is still, that was my paycheck. So, like, I was paycheck to paycheck for a while. And then,
but you did your thing. Like, you worked hard to get what you had.
And yeah, I had to do what I had to do. I mean, Panda Express was great.
You worked at Panda Express out here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. When?
Right. When I met you, I was still working at Panda.
When I
stayed, I would leave your apartment and put my uniform on and go to work.
And you never offered him any orange chicken.
And nobody's going to help her.
The first, like, what, 6-something months of us dating?
Yeah, it was a few months.
Which Panda?
It was in East LA.
Imagine, I go in, I'm just...
You're like, Heath, I'm pretty sure I saw your girlfriend at Panda. I'm like, what?
I walk in, she's like, shit.
So, yeah, I had two studio teaching jobs, and I worked at Panda Express. And then, so damn. Panda Express was where I met my roommate. I met her there and then we just moved in together and then now we're here.
That's what we mean by everything happens for a reason. Literally, like it can seem like the most trivial thing like in your overall timeline, but like it serves some sort of purpose, which is
like
really cool.
Everything that I went through helped me to get to where I got to today.
Even like the worst things that you could be put through, Like, they make you strong and they make you
right
exactly who you are as a person.
Yeah, that's so I'm so cool. grateful for it. It was cool. Like, when I didn't have a car, I was like, oh, this is cool. I can walk to the grocery store. Like, it was.
You become self-sufficient. You can and more yeah. independent and do things on right. your own. You, like,
and I appreciated it. Like, then I saved up for my first car and I did this and that. Like, it was nice. And then I always knew I had my family. My mom was like, come back whenever you need to. Like, they yeah. were just like. So supportive. My mom knew, like, she was like, you're gonna figure it out, like, it's gonna be fine.
Right. Every time I come home, her mom's always like, I was so close to having Mariah come home.
Yeah, because I, like, even when I met you, I would just have, like, panic attacks and mental breakdowns, and I was just like, I wanted to go home so bad. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I need to go home, because I was also working professionally out here, but, like, I was booking jobs in New York, like, that. I think it was because New York is very, like, ballet and proper dancing.
Oh, okay.
And I was a hip-hop, like, flipper, and they were like, yes, let's get her. Coming to L.A., nobody even looked at me. Every audition was, like, 800 people. I've auditioned for everybody you can think of under the sun. They won't even look at me. They'd be like, next, we want a blonde, curly-haired, pretty...
What else?
It's because everybody yeah. around the entire fucking world comes to this
exactly.
city
right.
for everything.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I just don't really, like, stand out. And, like,
well, and a lot of
anything.
Stuff in LA is typecasted, and it's like they know right. the person they want, like, what they want them to be and
exactly.
look like.
It's so weird. I didn't realize how many parallels there were, like, to your story to mine, but, like, it's very similar.
Really?
I came out to SF knowing no one. Like, I was 20, so I, like, turned 21
oh,
in SF.
Wow.
Like, it.
look at them go.
But it is you
I said, Matt, who?
You look
at them connecting. It's so cute.
You look back on your journey and you realize that, like, anything that's gonna come up next, like, I can handle it because look at what I've already gone through.
That's exactly what I think of. Yeah. And that's what you told me to think of. Mm-hmm. You're like, look where you are. Like, why are you upset?
Right.
Like, it was just like, it's just drain. It's very draining. It's very draining because you work so hard, and then for people to, like, tell you you're not good enough, it's like, it's, oh, it, like, sucks. But
makes you second guess
okay.
yourself. Like, I thought a few times about going home to Florida, and then I would, like, go home to Florida to visit, and I'm like,
right,
I'd rather not.
I
shouldn't.
What
yeah,
am I gonna
like,
do here?
Like, I've had times where I went back to Florida for, like, 3 months. Like, I was like, I'm done with LA.
I still can't believe you did that. That was like,
I still can't believe I came back.
I remember for a long time, like, it was like a very, like, hard,
very,
adjusting
very
period
bad
for
time.
You. Yeah.
And but yeah, no, it's so crazy. Like, but that happened in my life to put me where I am today.
Yeah.
Like, I came back, like, I collected myself, and I was like, I'm going to become stronger because of this, and I will capitalize on the fact that this happened
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
do something about it.
I honestly, like, I watch your guys' channels sometimes, and there was something that you said that it's like very true. It's like, I wouldn't change anything about what I've gone through because it
right.
got me to where I was today. And I totally,
yeah.
totally agree with you on that. Like, as shitty and, like, crummy as some of the situations were, it's like,
right.
if you didn't go through those, you wouldn't, like, have learned anything. So
yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, I feel like I can see it in both of you. I mean, I don't know. I haven't known Mariah for that long, but, like, you guys have grown so much since you've been out here. And I feel like I've grown so much since being
right,
in Cali
yeah,
and
yeah.
like being on my own and just hearing Mariah's story. It's like, I've like, everyone needs to go through these like hard times to like,
it sounds so cliche, but like, you have to go through those darkest times to like,
you have to hit rock
to,
bottom
right,
to come back
like
up.
It, and it's so true.
And if you yeah. feel like you're at rock bottom, it sounds stupid, but appreciate it right now because it's going to help you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like just making things like positive and being appreciative of those little things, and you'll just be like, what am, like, this sucks, but like, life is like still amazing.
Yeah.
And half the time it's only for a period of time, like coming here
yeah.
now, like knowing that I have you guys here, it's like, I don't know if I like LA, I don't know if I'm gonna like fit in here or whatever, but I know I have you guys, and like, you guys have
oh, he about to cry. Hold up. First guest to cry.
But, like, you guys have always made me feel very safe no matter what environment I've been in. And, like, being, like, gay and whatever. Like, we used to go to, like, Cowboys.
Right.
And, like, Roundup. Like, we don't even have to explain those places because you know that I wouldn't fit in there. But, like,
right.
I felt very safe there with you guys because, like,
good.
You know, it's just, like, I was around you and we would always have so much fun together. And, like, even though it wasn't
yeah.
a place that I would ever go to on my own, like, I was around good company.
Because it is still really bad in, like, Florida. Like,
yeah.
there's a couple of people that, like, I know out there that, like, I'll see – when I go out, I'll see them. And they still have the same fuck bullshit mindset that, like, gay people aren't people. And, like, everybody has their own opinions and whatever. Even if it's bullshit, like, fuck them. Like, you don't have to, like, waste
right.
your time on them. I just couldn't believe that there's people like that out there still.
It's so like how people could be so hateful and close-minded like today, that it's just so sad.
It's sad because like you don't know where people come from.
Right.
Like it's so cliche, but don't judge a book by its cover. Like it's that right. simple.
Yeah.
It really is that simple.
I feel like I was being called gay before I knew what gay was. Like, but I knew it was an insult. That's all I knew about
it.
That I was being singled out just because of like who I was. And this is like elementary school.
Oh
but
my
like,
gosh.
Yeah, it's wacky. Like, I don't even know where they heard the, and I mean, you know, hate is learned sometimes. So I don't know where they heard it.
Of course, yeah.
But like, I mean, I just always, you just gotta like find your tribe, honestly. And sometimes it's hard because you haven't found them yet. But like, keep chugging along because in elementary school, like I told you guys, I was friends with all girls. Like they always protected me. I always felt very safe around them. And like they always stuck up for me. So I was like, they made it okay to be who I was, even though they weren't like a part of my community, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
And boys back then, like boys were just fucking dicks. Like it was the girls that were actually accepting and like wanted to be everyone's friends and like wanted to bring people together. And the boys were actually fucking dicks. And
it's
like
the whole
just
like
wanted...
boys don't cry mentality. That's
the tough guy act.
You know, like what I got going on for me.
Baby, you could be whatever character you want to be.
Exactly.
Baby, you voice your opinion. You go do it, man. All right. We got to wrap this. I have a flight to catch. I'm out of here, baby.
And I have a tattoo appointment.
Oh my, I need to do it. Kenny, what do you want to do today?
I'm going to get a glass of water.
I'm going to go get some dinner, babe.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Relax.
Baby, I need to go see Hidayah and the family, you know.
Oh. I'm like jealous. I want to go home again.
I haven't seen them.
I want
like
Hidayah to come out here so bad.
I know. First guest?
Second guest.
Oh, it would be perfect.
Don't blow me out of
She's
the water.
So
that
good.
Would be cool.
She's so funny.
She's such a natural. A gift.
We just end up making this podcast cast like eight people. It's just like all
in a
of
circle.
Us in a big ass.
We have the camera on this rotator where it just goes.
No, it's like that 70s show. We just
we have to film it on the 360 camera that David used for that one video where it's like just you could spin around the room to like look at whoever you want.
Dude, that was like David's first big like
brand deal.
I remember that we were all like so excited for him. We're like, all right, let's get this done. Come over. And I remember throughout the whole thing, we were just like, oh my God, this is going to look so weird.
But all right, you got to get going. So once again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the podcast. As always, everybody knows that we post on Monday the audio. Tuesday is going to be the video on youtube.com/Zane and Heath.
We are canceling. How do you say this? We are canceling the merch. Oh. Discontinuing the merch.
I don't want to hear the word canceled for the rest of my life.
We're discontinuing the merch.
So if you want to check that out, it is on sale right now. So make sure to do it while you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big things coming.
I better be getting some of that merch before it.
Does. I don't even have merch, Kenny.
Baby,
I don't even have anything.
That merch is being canceled. We can't.
Just any excuse to not give us anything.
Okay, then I'm out. That's how I was being paid for this in merch.
But all right, guys, we love you so much. And yeah, I hope you have a great Monday and Tuesday. And yeah, fucking, yo, kill this week.
What'd you just say?
Kill this week. Like, kill it.
He said, kill this week.
Yo,
no, we were just, I was just laughing at the way, like, you were like, and yeah, yo, fucking. Like, what kind of character was that?
Fucking kill this week, dog.
All right. Hey, love you guys. Bye.
We love you. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.